You know, Robert Ben-Rion, our chairman, earlier said that Simon Jacob is responsible for him being here. And it's funny because in addition to Simon's enthusiasm for this project and not really needing to convince Robert, but for reaffirming Robert's desire to come to Paris and travel with this delegation, if there's anybody out there who has been supportive of our efforts when it comes to Jewish Unity Initiative, it is Simon Jacob, who's become an amazing friend of this radio show. You'll recall that he was with us in Sderot, and we've emphasized that the Jewish Unity Initiative has such an important part in Israel. So you'll recall that he was with us in Sderot at a very, very trying time. Remember that time, Simon? You remember that day?
Amazing.
That was an amazing trip, right in the middle of the war. You'll also recall that he was the first person to step up and tell us that we must go to Houston, Texas, in the aftermath of the floods there, which affected the Jewish community to a great extent. That show continues to play in archive form to rave reviews. And now we introduced Europe. Now we can say together that we're on our third continent. And we are in fact bringing the Jewish Unity Initiative to Europe. And you saw today what happened. You saw how people reacted when they realized why we're here and what we're doing.
It was really incredible. First of all, Nachum, I can't tell you how incredible it is to be in such a beautiful morning in Paris. I can't tell you. It's unbelievable. Such a beautiful morning. It's so exciting to be here, and it was so special to meet people. And I can't tell you also how incredible the falafel was.
Yeah.
It was just like, it just totally blew me away.
Yeah, I'm sure anybody listening in Israel is rolling their eyes. But
I know,
hey.
But it was pretty amazing.
This is something that came up earlier, and I said I wanted to mention it while you were on. The reaction whenever we go to Israel, it could be for a broadcast from the Inbal just with guests who, you know, come to talk about the current situation. It could be a broadcast from Sderot, as we did last year. It could be something from the Gush. It could be something from one of the great organizations that concentrates on the victims of terror or families in need, whatever it might be. We know that every time we show up, good times and bad times, there are people there who express their appreciation, but sort of, they expect it at this point. They expect that if they're in a challenging situation or even regular times, they're going to see and hear American Jews come and, you know, show their solidarity. Here, that message is not communicated very often. And I think it really gave us a big boost today when we saw how people were reacting to the fact that we would pick up from the United States on Hanukkah and come here and do this. Did you get the same feeling?
Very much so. Very much so. In fact, I really got it yesterday morning when Robert and myself were visiting shul after shul looking for you.
You did, by the way, they did find me in
absolutely.
Shul eventually.
100%.
Thank you.
100%. We never knew there were so many huge synagogues so close together in Paris. I'm talking about mega shuls,
yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, with unbelievable architecture. And each one that we walked in, we were welcomed. They looked at us like, you're guests. You know, please join us. Please daven with us. And we kept saying, well,
we've
got to find somebody who's supposed to be here. But it was really amazing.
Didn't I text you that I'd be at the Great Synagogue?
You
but
did.
Anyway.
We thought each one of them was the Great
Synagogue.
That's why.
And when you walk into all of them,
wow.
It does feel that way. And Robert, with his background in North Africa, Europe, we spoke about this before. You also have a background that's unique. You know many, because of your heritage, you know many areas of the Jewish world. Are you surprised that Paris has been, and it's funny that it took me to come here to discover this and to really realize it, has really been the capital of Jewish Europe and has had such a prominent role in the international Jewish community for hundreds of years at this point?
So, you know, it's interesting. As I was listening to Robert, we were discussing it over drinks last night. It's a special place for those people who came out of the Holocaust. It's a very special place for those Jews who came from North Africa.
Right.
In fact, one of the comments that Robert made, and I never thought about this, but any of the Jews from North Africa, their only path to Israel was through France and Paris,
right.
Which was huge. I never thought of that. I never realized that. It's kind of funny because my background is more English-speaking or Arabic-speaking Jews who came out of Iraq and Southeast Asia.
Right.
And because of that, we focused on countries like Australia and London as the points of immigration to the world. And London became a place where people settled for a period of time in order to get to the United States or to even get to Australia. So in that instance, we were different, and I never thought about Paris that way at all. And Robert's words just really lit me up because I remember all of those things, but not about Paris. Right. So it was very poignant. It really pointed it out to me.
Speaking to Simon Jacob, joined, of course, by Robert Ben-Rimon. It's funny. At some point today, someone said that to us, that even now they were, quote-unquote, on their way to Israel, but stopped in Paris and ended up staying. Isn't it interesting how even today that same route, exists?
Yes.
And sometimes, although, of course, you know, our feelings about going to Israel, but sometimes people will end up staying where they feel comfortable and where they can set up their business and continue living life. So
absolutely.
Even today it serves that purpose.
It's interesting. One of the people who is going to be with us later, Eitan, mentioned that... He's from Paris. He's actually French. Originally, he mentioned that the Jews and I might be getting this wrong. The Jews, it actually could have been my cousin Debbie, who was here visiting. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Debbie, if I'm misquoting you. What she'd mentioned was that the Jews in Paris, everybody speaks English, but the Jews in Paris don't. The Jews in Paris all speak Hebrew.
Right.
So, it's also interesting to see that difference.
Yeah, there's no question that if you're stuck in Paris and you're desperate to communicate, it's much better to open your mouth with Hebrew than with English.
Absolutely.
There's more of a chance that they're going to know Hebrew, which is so hard for Americans to understand.
Absolutely.
That English would not be the second language of anybody in Europe or anybody around the world at this point.
But I think it's mainly, obviously it's Jews. You're not going to get Parisians who are speaking Hebrew. But most of the Parisians do speak English enough to get along and get around. And
not enough of them, in my opinion. And frankly, we'll see at the concert. How many of them will understand what I'm saying? How many of them will have to look at the subtitles? How many of them will...
Correct.
We'll understand the excitement behind the announcement.
Well, you have to bear in mind that France, for the past 50 years, they are very nationalist.
Right.
And they supposedly some of them understand English and they could speak English, but Dafka, they won't speak English to you.
You know, it's interesting. In some of the interviews we did, this message was coming forth. One person, I think I remember which interview it was, one person... If you read between the lines of what they were saying, they were lamenting that they no longer can identify as French.
Correct.
That, you know, they want to be Jewish. I want to identify as Jews. But it hurt them that it looks like, because of the way things are going politically in this country, especially in light of what happened this week, it hurts them that there seems to be no place for them. Isn't that interesting?
I felt that woman, by the way.
Yeah.
And I initially asked her, do you speak English? She said... No, not at all. And then
as if it's an insult.
It's an insult. She opened up like a flower.
Right.
And I thought she was
spoke,
one of our best interviews.
It was the best
beautifully.
Interview, and she spoke so amazing.
Right.
So there's a hesitation.
She was like crying
out. Oh, yeah. She described the Jewish community here.
She described the Jewish community like really the way it is.
No question about it.
They're hurting.
But I never thought of that. When you initially approached her, she may have felt uncomfortable saying to you, of course, I can speak English. It's funny.
Yeah,
Simon?
No, it was very interesting. I go back to the falafel restaurant that was jam-packed. I mean, when we came into... there was a line out the door. We were very lucky that they kind of ushered us around because we were a large group, but there was a line out the door. And
they're telling us that this is just the beginning of their rebounding.
Right.
Boy.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of restaurants we know would like to have that kind of beginning.
Right. Well, the food deserved it. It was really great.
I want to take this opportunity, since we are speaking with the leaders of our American delegation, We want to thank all those who have traveled with us or will be traveling with us to join us at the concert on Wednesday night and be part of this experience. That includes Mr. Gilles Gade of Cross River Bank in Bergen County. He is with New York State Assemblyman Phil Goldfeder, who's going to be joining us. He was amazing on the air when he described why he wanted to be part of this. The president of Yeshiva University, Richard Joel, even before Robert, was the first person asked to join us on this mission. We felt that his vision and the vision of the institution that he represents really encapsulates this entire message. Not that others would not, but, you know, we felt that he would be a perfect person to be part of this, and he'll be addressing the crowd tomorrow night with English and subtitles. Of course, I mentioned Robert Ben-Rimon and Simon Jacob, and in addition, you've told us, and I assume this is for publication at this point, that your delegation has now gotten larger.
Absolutely.
We are expecting Dr. Joe Rosazada to join us from West Orange, New Jersey. We are expecting Eitan. What's Eitan's last name?
El Baziz.
He'll be joining us from West Orange, right?
From West Orange. He's in.
And Rabbi Sharbat.
Right.
Who people know from the Sephardic minion at the Avos Achim Shul.
Yeah. He's the assistant rabbi.
He also is not passing up an opportunity part of this historic event.
Yep.
Is there anybody I'm leaving out? I think, did I get everybody in the delegation?
I think there was about 12 other people that we're, talking to. We're trying to get badges to get them in. But it's actually, I'm told now it's a totally sold out crowd.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So
I think it's oversold.
It's gonna be tight, but we're really looking forward.
And I take this opportunity to thank the, I guess if we're gonna really go back in time, the first person who was part of our American delegation, that's Mr. Sam Levy. We needed someone at the very beginning who knew French and English, who wanted to sit through the tedious task of translating on the phone, which is not easy, as anybody knows. You do business in any part, except for you, because you know 10 languages, Robert. But for anybody else, it's a tedious task. And Sam Levy is going to be joining us at this very special event. And this was really his vision in addition to ours, because he really guided us through how this would work in terms of dealing with the community here in Paris. And he has been just a wonderful leader in all this. I thank him very, very much, and he'll be joining us, Bezrat Hashem.
I want to take just a moment to say thank you to my wife for allowing me to go to Paris with Robert, which I can't believe she'd let me do this. That's number one. And number two is to say thank you to my son for also allowing me to go. And definitely a shout out to Grandma Doreen, who's, I know, listening, because she's always listening to JM in the AM. So I really want to shout out to her and tell her we're safe. We're okay. Everything's great here. We actually have people who accompany us around. Not that we really need them, but we have them. And everything's been great.
Make everyone comfortable.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to add one other thing. We've been asked to be part of French Jewish radio. There's three Jewish radio stations here who obviously are very excited about the event. Then when they discovered that I don't know French, just like I keep people off the air who don't know English, when they discovered I don't know French, so they said, do you have an alternative? And then we sent Mr. Sam Levy to be our spokesman to French Jewish radio. So I thank him for doing that as well. So I just wanted to add that. All right, JM and the AM, my thanks again to Simon Jacob and to Robert Ben-Rimon. It's going to be a very exciting evening Wednesday night.
Really looking forward.
You could watch it on the homepage, NahumSiegel.com. We'll have the link there, and I would hope it's going to be in a variety of other places as well. And then, of course, Thursday, we will try to get as much post-event coverage as possible. If you gentlemen think that it's going to be an early night on Wednesday night, you're mistaken, because you're going to be doing this again with us, with other special guests, after the concert, which is going to be pretty late.
Looking,
you know, in France, it seems nothing really gets started too early.
No.
Yeah.
Dinner doesn't get started early.
It's part of the French culture.
Yeah. So to be out till midnight is really common
because
here.
You don't go just to eat. You're going to dine.
An experience.
It's an experience. You know, the whole dinner, it's like a couple good hours. You got to have a wine on the table.
Right.
Yeah. No Diet Coke.
Right.
Not just soda. You got to have a good wine, and the chef is usually sent some stuff to you.
No Moscato.
No Moscato.
No Moscato,
thanks
exactly.
a lot. So if the event goes till midnight, We could be there till 1-2 o'clock just talking about
what
the
do you
incredible
mean, 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock.
Even later. There 3 o'clock. You go.
Hagurim Sameach. Hagurim Sameach.
Hagurim Sameach. Happy Hanukkah. The city
everybody.
Of light, light should enjoy the festival of lights.
We should have all the Jews should have light.
Amen. And yeah, our families should be able, we should be able to celebrate with them toward
Amen.
The end of the Chag right. and bring Amen. Them the same incredible light that we're bringing here to Paris. Chag Urim Sameach. Happy Hanukkah. Freilich and Hanukkah to everybody. More coming up. I thank you all for tuning in. It is a JM in the AM Wednesday broadcast, the Jewish Unity Initiative coming to its amazing climax. Everybody out there, thank you for your encouragement and your dedication to this unique, important, and simplistic concept. When our brothers and sisters are in need anywhere in the world, we, as their brothers and sisters, care. I want to show how much we care and how concerned we are. And that, in this case, we've done so by coming to Paris, France. This is JM in the AM.